Evening, Lehigh Valley. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening for Lehigh Valley Discourse. And tonight we have a show that's a celebration show. But before we talk about who my guests are, I just want to take you back in time a little bit. And the year is 1927, and it's a few years prior to the Great Depression. Calvin Coolidge is our president. We just had the first transatlantic telephone call from New York City to London. The Holland Tunnel under the Hudson River opens on November 13th, connecting New York City with New Jersey and giving us the nightmare of all the backups that we've been experiencing today. Time Magazine Man of the Year was Charles Lindbergh. And here in Bethlehem, a group of 12 women came together and formed the Bethlehem YWCA, or the YWCA of Bethlehem. And that's what we're celebrating tonight, listeners. We're celebrating that today, 2012, is the 85th year of the Bethlehem YWCA. And with me as guests this evening, I have three very important women to the Bethlehem Y, and that is Stephanie Natus, who is the executive director. Stephanie, welcome.
Thank you.
And we have Michelle Schrin, who is a board member and involved in a lot of activities for the board. Michelle, welcome.
Thank you, Sally.
And the board president, the new president, Charlize King, is with us this evening as well. Welcome, Charlize.
Thank you, Sally. Thanks for having us.
I'm so thrilled to have all three of you with us tonight. And before we dig into the Bethlehem YWCA, let's let our listeners know a little bit about each of you. And so I'm going to start with Stephanie. And Stephanie, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your background and then what you've been doing and how long you've been at the Bethlehem YWCA?
Sally, I've been the executive director of the YWCA of Bethlehem for 7 years. I've spent about a third of my career in the for-profit area. I worked for Finance America and Federal Home Loan Mortgage in Washington, D.C., and then two-thirds of my career in the nonprofit area in both fundraising and running nonprofit organizations. One of the things I can tell you, it's a lot easier for women to break the glass ceiling in a nonprofit organization. I think in for-profits, they're still dominated by male leaders.
Okay, and I think probably that's typical of this little region we call the Lehigh Valley. Yeah, I see all the heads shaking here. You can't see that, listeners. But as Stephanie has been involved in the Lehigh Valley and down in Philadelphia area, and you were in D.C. for a while, correct?
Yes.
So you've covered the Eastern Seaboard with your career.
I have.
Okay. And most recently, as she said, she's been with the Y for about the last 7 years, and there's been a lot of things going on that you're going to hear about later under her role. But before we do that, let's talk to the new board president, Charlize, and find out a little bit more about Charlize King.
Well, I'm new to the Lehigh Valley. I'm only 6 years old here.
Okay.
And I love being here. It's a wonderful community. And part of the wonderful part of being here is because I met Stephanie and got involved with the YWCA. My background is I've been a teacher, I've been a radio person, a television person.
Great.
I've also done some consulting work, but my forte is human resources and financial services. And I've done that for about 30 years. I moved to the Lehigh Valley in 2007 to follow my husband here for his job, and I was looking for something intellectually stimulating to do because I could not find any work. We were in the middle of the beginning of the recession.
Okay.
And so I got involved with the YWCA. I learned about its programs. I learned about the wonderful impact they have with the mission, which is empowering women and eliminating racism, which sort of parallels my life.
Okay.
And I decided I wanted to get involved, and I joined the board in 2008. And I started out as a board member, then became secretary, then became vice president, and in August at our annual meeting, I became the incoming president.
Terrific. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's
I'm very
quite
happy
a story.
About it.
Now, just a little bit, radio personality, where were you on the radio?
Well, I studied radio television. I have a master's in radio television and English. I was a reporter for an NBC affiliate for a little while, but really wanted to write for the news and also for production. And I'm from the South, so I'm a child of segregation.
Okay.
And I'm also a woman, African-American woman, who is working in the corporate world, Wall Street, Boston, New York, D.C. And so the parallel for me with the YWCA is that I've lived the mission, and I understand it. And I wanted to do something to help other women and minorities and individuals with disabilities to be able to move forward, because the work has been great. We've moved forward. We've done a lot of wonderful things, but we still have some work to do.
There's always work to do. That's great. Well, thank you for sharing that.
You're
little
welcome.
Bit more about who Charlize is. And be careful. We might try and get you here at WDIY as well, as with your background. And last but certainly not least is Michelle Schrinn. And Michelle is involved on the board, and she's been very active. In fact, tonight she sort of intermittently came here from Steel Stacks, from an activity that the Y is actually conducting at Steel Stacks. So, Michelle, tell us a little bit about you, your background, and maybe the event that's going on in case people want to go.
Sure. Well, Charlize is going to be a tough act to follow. I am the junior member here tonight.
An important member.
So my experience is not as robust as these two women next to me. My background is generally in marketing. I've worked here in the Valley and both in New York and Philadelphia. My real passion is women's empowerment, and I was lucky enough to meet Stephanie, our executive director, just about 2 years ago, and she recruited me to be on the board. And ever since,
it's just taken off.
I mean, it really has. It's been a great force in my life. I've met some wonderful people, and in addition to inspiring women in our community, I've been inspired myself through this organization. So.
Terrific.
Very happy to be here.
And your day job is?
I work for Caruso Benefits Group as a marketing associate currently.
Okay. Terrific. And the event that's happening at Steel Stacks
speaking, the YWCA of Bethlehem is hosting Ladies Night Out at Steel Stacks currently. So stop on down if you can after you're done listening to the show.
Yes.
We're there until 8 p.m. This evening.
Okay, and this is an event that you've had periodically throughout the summer months, correct?
That's correct. Tonight is our last Ladies Night Out of the summer. The goal of the Ladies Night Out is really to kind of drive some awareness for our upcoming event, which I'm sure we'll be talking to you about shortly.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, so now you have a little background about who is with me in the station tonight, and we're going to have a great conversation because there's so much happening at the YWCA of Bethlehem. This group has really been very innovative in its approach to its programming, its direction, its concentration of focus, and unfortunately, we need more people to find out about it. And so that's why we're here tonight on the station and also about what's happening for their 85th year. But let's start first with there's an approach that the Bethlehem YWCA has used, which I find very interesting. And it's basically what I would consider to be a program without walls or without borders, because they try to do everything out in the community with various locations and go to where the individuals are. But let's talk about some of those programs that are out there in the community. And Michelle, you had one which is the political one.
Great Decisions.
Great Decisions. Thank you. Great Decisions. Let's start first with Great Decisions and talk a little bit about that.
Well, the Great Decisions program, it actually highlights issues that are vital to American policy. And it's an 8-week series where the Foreign Policy Association is the group that funds the program with us and also sets the topics for that year. And we have speakers from the community who may be government ambassadors, they may be professors, they may be business leaders, or even politicians. And each series date has one of those individuals who fosters that topic for the day. We're going to have our first preview of this series on October the 17th, and it's from 10:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. And it will be the topic of the moment, which is the American election reality,
okay,
which is challenges facing the presidential winner. That should be really an engaging conversation, and a lot of people will talk about it. The nice thing is that one of our local professors, and I think you know more about her, Michelle.
Yes, she's the new political science chair at Muhlenberg College.
And her name is Michelle
Deegan.
PhD at Muhlenberg College. And the nice thing, we've attended several of them over the years, this will be our 38th year of the great
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And it's a wonderful thing that we have partnered with the American Policy Committee. And also, we partner with Kirkland Village, which is the location of our series.
Yeah, that's a beautiful location to have
it's
events at.
It's a beautiful location. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately, the nicest thing, I think, is it's interactive at the end. The guests who are in the room are able to talk with the speakers, share their opinions, ask questions, whatever, and it's really a really stimulating afternoon of really good subject.
Really brings you up to date.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, partnering. I know, Stephanie, that's a big issue for you, trying to partner. Let's talk about the YW's efforts and getting out there and sort of partnering with other entities or finding ways to build partnerships in the community.
One of our newest partners is the American Association of University Women, and we've been partnering with all three branches, the Bethlehem, Allentown, and Easton group.
Okay.
We recently did a dinner dialogue session with the groups where we went into people's homes and we talked about racial issues, and we wanted to make sure that we had minorities and Caucasians in the room so we could all talk and share. And it was the dinner dialogues were held on the same night at four different locations in Lehigh Valley in four different homes. And it was just an outstanding experience at every single home. Just people walked away and changed their minds a little bit on a lot of issues.
Okay, so let's racial justice. This is one of the focuses of the YWCA. Explain it. What all are you doing? How are you trying to get racial justice in the Lehigh Valley community or an awareness?
Okay, I will talk about that, but I just wanted to, like, first of all, let everybody know what our mission is.
Sure.
The YWCA's mission is to eliminate racism and empower women. And a lot of times when I'm out in the community, people say, I don't get it. How could you – I have two things that seem so far apart as your mission. How do you go about doing this? And I explain to individuals that the reason we have these two missions is in the 60s we had a national convention, and a lot of the women that were at that convention that were African American got together, and they said, you know, the YWCA is all about empowering women, but we as African American women are never going to be empowered until racism is eliminated. When women would travel together, once they got to a city, The white women were able to go into a hotel, but there were hotels that were segregated,
mm-hmm.
and the African-American women were housed by local churches or in people's homes. And they said, you know, we just can't have an organization that empowers women because we won't be empowered until racism is gone. So that's why we have
the two
mission statements.
Okay.
And each YWCA in the country has to have hallmark programs, and their hallmark programs to empower women economically, and then to racial justice programs to eliminate racism in our country. At the Bethlehem YWCA, we have several racial justice programs. One is racial justice education, which we do for our staff. Each staff is required to have a certain number of racial justice education units. And they can come up with their hours through watching movies, reading, going to events. Then they write about the events and describe how it's changing their attitudes towards race and racism in the United States. And that's been staff only. And the board had discussed possibly also making that a board requirement. They also have the racial justice education units to complete. We also do study circles in the community, and we have youth study circles and adult study circles. And what happens in the study circles, they're a six-week program where people discuss different issues. I shouldn't say different issues, mostly personal experiences about whether or not they've experienced racism. And then they come up with an action plan at the end, and then they implement their plan. And we also do reading circles for youngsters. We go into the Bethlehem elementary schools and middle schools, and we have a book that we read to the children, and they answer questions about the differences and how they feel about it and, you know, what they have to do differently.
Okay. So, listeners, hang in with us. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back to talk about more about what's happening at our YWCA here of Bethlehem and in their 85th anniversary year.
Celtic Fair, a celebration of Celtic music and culture, from its roots in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Galicia, and Brittany, to its branches in Australia, Cape Breton, Canada, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, and the Lehigh Valley. Bringing you music, interviews, and a weekly culture calendar every Thursday from 7 to 9 on WDIY Allentown listener-supported community public radio.
Welcome back, listeners. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening, and joining me in the studio are representatives of our Bethlehem YWCA, and that is Stephanie Natas, who is the executive director, Michelle Schrin, who's a board member and special events person, and Charlize King, who's the board president. Before our brief break, we were talking a little bit about the mission and the goals of the YWCA, and Stephanie was explaining sort of the national positioning and what we did locally on one of the areas, which is eliminating racism. One of the other areas is empowering women and promoting peace and justice. Stephanie, how do we interpret that here in the Bethlehem area? What kinds of programs do we offer through your organization to help do that?
In the area of empowering women, we have empowerment programs for women, girls, and families, and they all address empowering women. Our women's programs include a neighbor-to-neighbor program, which is funded by Susan G. Komen, Highmark Blue Shield, and Pfizer, and the Women's 5K Classic in the Lehigh Valley. And what we do with that program, we go to the Allentown Housing Authority, Lehigh County Housing Authority, and Bethlehem Housing Authority, and do what we call parties for the women. We invite them to come in. They get a gift card. They get a snack. And we have a nurse that talks about breast health. And then any woman that's uninsured or underinsured is eligible for a free mammogram at the Bethlehem or Allentown Health Bureaus. And what we do is we sign the women up, we forward their information to the health bureaus, and then we follow up to make sure that they went and they got their mammogram.
Okay.
And we've been doing that for about 3 years, and we feel really fortunate that everyone in the community loves this program and is helping us to ensure that we can continue doing it for women.
Terrific. Terrific. And for young girls, you mentioned young girls. Now, you have some special programs to empower them. The Tech Girls, is that it?
Yes, the Tech Girls is one of my favorite programs. It's a program that we do in the Bethlehem Elementary and Middle Schools. And the first semester, the girls do web design. They do gaming. They learn to do other things, movie making on the computer. And then the second semester, they do robotics. And after each semester, the girls do a tech expo, and they invite their parents, their friends, school officials to come and see the work that they've done. And at the end of the year, they have a field trip, tech venture, and they go into corporations where women are working in the STEM fields. They're either engineers, doctors,
sort of like mentors, computer, or models.
Yes, and they can see what the women are doing in their company. So it's very, very exciting for the girls.
Do you have to travel far to find examples and models for the girls to be able to go visit?
We really don't. One of the places that has a lot of women in non-traditional jobs is Air Products and Chemicals.
Okay.
And they hosted a field trip for the girls, and it was, like, amazing. The girls started out with making gel for their hair.
Okay.
They made gel that everybody's hair was up there. They also made ice cream, which they loved. They went into the studio, and they did a movie while they were there. They also, I had an opportunity to go into a room that had screens of all the Air Products facilities in the whole world, and anyone that was a gated facility, the girls could press a button and they could open and close the gate, which the girls just loved. And they were also taken into an area for security, and that was really interesting because one of the things the security officer said is he held up a pencil and said, "We can track this pencil." And we know when it's leaving our facility and when it's not. They put a tracker in there so they can control their inventory and make sure that everything is kept at Air Products.
Ooh.
One of the things that I like about empowering women and girls is that we look beyond just we look for things that the girls are really going to enjoy that are important to them, as well as preparing them in technology and in sports. And maybe, Michelle, you can talk about the golf program for the girls. But one of the things that I really like that I think is one of our greatest successes is the prom dress day.
I've heard about that.
It is wonderful. And the thing that I like about it is girls at that age, juniors and seniors, it's important for them not only to study and work hard for their goals, but they want to be able to celebrate at the prom. They want to be able to dress nicely and have all the accessories that they can. And the prom dress day, for me, is just so inspiring to see them so happy. They're a little tentative when they come in because they don't know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of them don't really want to come because I can't afford to buy a dress, so I don't really want them to know I'm coming to look for a dress that I don't have to pay for.
Right.
But when they come in, it's like going into the YWCA department store. We have volunteers and board members who volunteer. The State Street Theater Ballroom is set up like a most glamorous prom bridal company. You go in, there are thousands of dresses in all sizes. There are tables of accessories, jewelry. There are even shoes to match your outfit. And they come in, some of them with their moms. The moms are thrilled. And there's such joy in that room on this prom dress day. So that's one of our successes that I think empowers them to figure out other ways to take care of themselves when they don't have the finances, perchance, to do it.
When Charlize was talking, I thought of the first prom dress day that we did, and this is, I think, a really cute story. We had a newspaper reporter there that was also a photographer. He was doing both things, so he interviewed everybody. And I thought he was all done with the interviews and he was going to leave. But what he did, he sat down on these chairs that were near the dressing room. And he's sitting there and sitting there and sitting there. And I'm thinking to myself, this is like really weird. Why isn't he leaving? And after about a half an hour, all of a sudden I see him jump out of his seat with his camera and took a picture of a girl. None of the girls were leaving the fitting room, and he wanted to see the princess, like, in the long gown and everything else. So he got his camera and took all these pictures. Then as soon as the other girls heard that he's there to take pictures, everybody was running out with their prom dresses. At first, they were just in the fitting room and didn't come out. So
it's
that was really great.
Day. It really is. So they're being empowered in the sciences and technology. They're being empowered to be the best physical person that you can be in your own way. And then we have sports.
Right. Yes. Yes. We have an LBGA and USGA girls golf program. The program teaches girls ages 7 through 17 the game of golf, and it helps to build lifelong skills such as etiquette and discipline. One of the things that we found very interesting is that there are about 200 golf scholarships that go unclaimed every year for colleges. And that's 30%.
That's surprising.
So really, in addition to teaching these girls a skill, we're also empowering them to go ahead and grab some of these scholarships and get into colleges. really the program helps these young women build self-esteem early in life so that they're successful later in life. In addition to the girls' golf program, we also have a teen WAN program that we are about to launch. And this program is really going to help young women in high school obtain jobs. So in the next few months, we will be releasing more information about that. But really, I mean, how better to empower a young woman? Right. You know, stay in school and get a job.
Absolutely. And I'm thinking, you know, geez, if I had learned golf as a teen,
yes,
I would have done much better in the business world, especially when I was in banking.
Yes. Right.
Because I couldn't take my clients out on the golf course because I was probably the worst golfer.
Right.
I should have just been the caddy.
If we only knew, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is great. Now, one of the things I wonder about is in this day and age where we seem so disconnected, how do the girls find out about your programs? How are you able to attract them, and how are they to learn that you're doing the golf or you're doing this job program or that the gowns are available to them? How do you guys get the word out?
In every way possible.
Okay.
At the schools, we do sign-up parties for the girls for the Tech Girls program, where we have ice cream for them and cake, and you know, talk about the different programs and get them to sign on. For a girls' golf program, we have brochures that are sent out to all the schools. We do newspaper advertising for that. Our website also contains all kinds of information about our different programs.
Okay. Because that to me is probably the hardest thing. Have you gone mobile yet? Do you do anything with Facebook or Twitter?
Anything? A lot of social media marketing.
Okay.
We're not doing mobile, but it's still a tough nut to crack. But we are ramping up our social media efforts, and
I think
the next few years that we will be able to reach many more young girls.
Trying to keep up with it, because social media just takes an awful lot of time. You've got to stay up with it and be very it's right in the moment.
Of course.
And Michelle is our guru as the younger member of our board. She knows all of the strategies surrounding that kind of media, and it's a wonderful thing to have her on our board.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I want to switch gears for just a second, because there's an event coming up that WDIY and the Y have teamed together, partnered together. We talked about partnership a little bit before, and it's called Breaking the Glass Ceiling. So, Michelle, I'm going to turn to you and say, why Breaking the Glass Ceiling? And then we'll talk about how WDIY and the YW have partnered.
Sure. Well, the YWCA recognized the need to celebrate our 85th anniversary. And we also recognized the need to bring the issue of the proverbial glass ceiling to light in the Lehigh Valley. Back in March, I'm not sure if you're aware, there was a research group called 24/7 Wall Street that conducted a study naming the Lehigh Valley the ninth worst paying city in the country for women. On average, a woman earns just 71.8% of what men do in the Lehigh Valley. And so obviously this is a problem. So the issue became, how do we celebrate our 85th anniversary and bring attention to this critical issue at the same time? And so the Breaking the Glass Ceiling Gala was born. And during the event, we plan to celebrate those organizations in the Lehigh Valley who have gone against the norm, who have really elevated women and minorities and people with disabilities to high levels within the company. And we've gotten a ton of nominations.
Great.
And we've selected a few wonderful organizations. The decision was not easy.
No.
but really, there are some companies within the Lehigh Valley who are taking great strides to empower women.
Now, we're being discreet as we talk about this because we're not ready to
announce it yet,
but it'll be a great surprise.
Well, one of the things we can announce, though, about this event, which happens to be October 27th, is that with partnering with WDIY, the YW has worked with us here at WDIY to bring in the featured presenter, which is Terry Gross. Yes. And for those of you that listen to Fresh Air at noontime, you'll know what a wonderful program Terry offers. And here at WDIY, we're going to be having a pre-event, so cocktail party reception for Terry before the actual gala starts, and then Terry will be doing a presentation at the gala.
Correct. Hope, and she will be interviewed by Miss Sally Hanlon.
Yep. Well, so I'm diligently reading Terry's book right now to get myself up to date. But so this is a wonderful pairing of partnerships of like efforts and endeavors.
Absolutely. Glad to partner with WDIY.
Yes.
And actually, Terry is somebody that I've always admired. And oddly enough, Stephanie and Terry were both on the same college campus, even though they had never met at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's kind of uncanny that we're bringing her in. I can speak to just things that Stephanie's told me in the past about how when they were in school, women were either going into a career as a nurse or a teacher.
I was there.
And I think I think that Terry Gross, I think one of the interesting things about her story is that I think she went into teaching and lasted about 6 weeks. And that it just was not her thing.
And it's been on the radio ever since.
Yes, and now has 5 million listeners a day. So, yeah. Talk about a woman in a non-typical role early on and how successful she has become.
Correct. It's going to be wonderful to have her here at the Lehigh Valley, just to listen to her story and her words of wisdom that she has to offer us. But that's great. So again, listeners, that is October 27th. And if you're interested in learning more about it, you can find more on it at the WDIY.org website for the reception prior to the gala or on the WISE website, which is
www.breakingtheglassceilinggala.com.
Okay, so you've got it, and we'll repeat it again, but you may be interested in just going in and looking about what the event is going to be that night, and it's at the Candlelight, correct?
Yes, correct. The new event center at Blue.
Oh, the event center. They don't call it Candlelight anymore.
No.
Ew, I'm sorry, Candlelight. All right.
It's been completely redone.
I have not been there since then, so this will be fun on many levels. Let's go back to some of the programming and some of the different things that the Bethlehem YWCA has to offer. And one is the adult daycare, which is something that I don't know how many people, I mean, you're probably full, but you probably could have a lot more if people knew exactly what it was and how wonderful it is. So, Stephanie, can you share with our listeners a little bit about it?
Yes. The Adult Daycare Center is similar to a child center. Adults that are 60 and older with disabilities that can't be left at home can come to the center and be there from 8 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon. One of the things that's going on in Pennsylvania, 60% of the elderly folks are in institutions and 40% are living at home. And the state and everybody else wants to reverse that because it's a lot better if you're living at home than in an institution. So the state wants to bring more visibility to daycare centers because they think that individuals would be at home longer if they had more access to daycare.
Okay, and so a typical day, do people drop them off like they do children at daycare centers, then pick them up, and then have a full day of activities?
Yes, exactly. Some of the individuals are dropped off by their either wife or children, and many of the individuals that come to the program take transportation for the elderly and disabled people, and they're dropped off in the morning and then picked up in the afternoon. The day is like loaded with activities. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we don't do is show television. Nobody watches television, which I'm like, I think that's like really important. We have guests come in, entertainers come in. They go over the news, the weather. They do cooking. They do craft projects. And the entire day is just filled with activities.
Okay, so it really keeps them moving and up and not sort of off in a corner and just to themselves. They interact and are social.
Yes, and it not only helps the individual to be at a place with other people and to socialize, but it also helps the caregiver, whether it's a wife. She has some time to be by herself or a spouse and do things that they need to do. Or if elderly people are living with their children, most of the children are still working, so it enables their daughters and sons to continue working while they're at the daycare center.
How long has the YW been doing this?
We've been doing it for 25 years. We were the first adult daycare center in Northampton County.
I recalled that sort of in my background, but I couldn't put my finger on it because it seemed it was very unusual. I mean, you're sort of out there leading as far as activities and recognizing what the community needs are. So 25 years, that's a celebration too this year.
Yes,
so you got 85 and 25 and wow.
And one of the things that I'd like to bring up about the Adult Daycare Center is the fact that we have an annual fundraiser, and that's in the spring, and it's an auction. And that is the way that we raise extra funds for the program. One of the problems that we're facing now is that we get a lot of grants that are federal or state grants. And because of the change in the political climate, we are losing funds, and we're not getting as much support as we did before.
Mm-hmm.
So we are trying to come up with more ways for us to raise funds, and that auction is a key element of it.
And to keep the price reasonable for those that are attending.
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, listeners, stay tuned. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back. Your host, Sally Hanlon, and we're talking with the women from the Bethlehem YWCA.
You have vinyl albums or 45s on your shelves that are taking up space and gathering dust? Why not donate them for a good cause? WDIY will receive profits from the records, and you will receive a tax deduction. Any condition is accepted. For more information or to arrange for drop-off or pickup, call 610-694-8100 extension 3 or visit WDIY.org.
For program support on WDIY, we thank Fegley's Brew Works, with restaurants and breweries located on Main Street in Bethlehem, at the Allentown Municipal Golf Course on Tillman, and now next to the Allentown Brew Works on Hamilton Street is the new Burrito Works, serving custom-made burritos, quesadillas, as well as craft beers from around the world. TheBrewWorks.com.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business.
And the business we're taking care of this evening happens to be the Bethlehem YWCA in their 85th year celebration. This is Sally Hanlon. I'm your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse. And with me tonight in the studio are the following important people from, and there's many others out there, but we have the boss. We have the executive director, Stephanie Natas. We have her boss, the board president, Charlize King. And we've got Michelle Schrin, who is a board member and one of the workers and is diligently working on this event that we just told you about, which is Breaking the Glass Ceiling. I've asked Michelle to tell a little bit more. It's a very different gala from some of the others that you might have experienced in the Valley, and I'd like Michelle to share with you a little bit about how it's structured that evening.
Sure. We wanted to break the mold, I think, and do something a little different. I think that, there are so many events out there right now, and we wanted to present something to the community that really just piqued their interest and did something that was
unusual
and not the norm. So basically, we're going to start with a reception that WDIY is hosting with Terry Gross. And during that time, we'll also have our own wine and cheese reception going on for those who can't attend the private reception. We'll follow that up with dinner, and then Terry Gross will speak. Now, Terry's presentation is very unique. She really plays some of the more monumental interviews that she's gone through during the years. I know that there's the famous Bill O'Reilly interview and the famous Gene Simmons interview where they really have belittled her on air. I've heard it's spectacular. After that, we have the opportunity to interview her, and Sally will be doing the interviewing. So we really would like to ask her some pointed questions about women's leadership and how she's gotten to, the place that she's gotten to in life, and how she deals with some of these interviews gone awry. Following that, we're actually awarding the businesses in the Lehigh Valley that embody our mission of empowering women and eliminating racism. And I think that we can actually at least announce the award winners. They all know that they're getting the award. To find out more, you'll have to attend the gala. However, the Company of the Year award will be going to the PPL Corporation. They've done amazing work with women's empowerment and with minorities in leadership positions. The Trailblazer Award is going to the Lehigh Valley Health Network. The Women's Leadership Award will be going to Capital Blue Cross. The Community Leadership Award is going to Northampton Community College. The Empowerment Advocate Award is going to Women in Art in Pennsylvania. The Women-Owned Business Award is going to Eye for Detail Construction. And the Non-Traditional Women's Business Award will be going to Franklin Hill Vineyards.
Oh, what a good group of organizations, businesses to recognize.
They really are. We were pleasantly surprised when the nominations came in. I don't think that any one of us expected to be overwhelmed with the wonderful things that these organizations are doing.
That's really exciting. So they're going to be recognized that night. Will they be able to share a little bit, or are they just going to get recognized? Is there a little bit of their story? Or
we will share more of their story that evening and really highlight what they do in the community. We don't want to let too much out of the bag.
No. But thank you. This is a first. You
it's
heard it first at the Lehigh Valley Discourse this evening. And if you see any of those folks from those organizations, please share congratulations. And before I go on to, I know a point that Michelle wants to make, I was negligent to not mention that two of the women in this studio this evening are also receiving awards for their work with women and supporting women's roles through the Women's Business Council. And that is Stephanie will be the recipient of the Athena Award that the chamber will be giving in October. And Michelle is the Young Athena Professional. So there's a lot of good positive momentum going on here in this room right now. So congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
Okay, now there's one other aspect of breaking the glass ceiling that I see. Stephanie just wrote you a note.
We were able to interview a number of women leaders in the Lehigh Valley, yourself included, to really find out how they've faced the glass ceiling in their lives. And each woman has a story to tell, and we will be debuting the video at the gala in October. And I hope that that it really opens some people's eyes about the barriers that women have encountered on their way to success. I did most of the interviewing process, and at the end of the day, I left with a heavy heart. There were some stories that really were very shocking, but what really was amazing was how these women were able to overcome these obstacles in their current roles as leaders and mothers and activists and you name it. So I'm hoping that guests out there will attend and support these women in the valley.
What's really interesting, and I was at, as Michelle mentioned, I was there as well. And as you heard some of these, some of these stories, it's not all that long ago that some of this occurred and is still occurring in certain segments of the Lehigh Valley. And so it's, the women's movement, and Gloria Steinem was here with the Women's Business Council this year. The women's movement is the, what she said, it was the longest war. What was the term that she used? The longest.
And was it revolution?
Revolution or something along
like
that.
Yeah.
And, that it's still going on, that it hasn't finished its purpose yet. And I think events like this will help to raise that and continue to keep it on people's minds. So.
Right. I think that's extremely important.
And then, of course, we have all the activities that, the Bethlehem YWCA is doing to make sure that we stay on track and keep focused. So, yes, again, the event is October 27th at the Event Center at Blue?
No. Blue.
Blue,
yes.
Okay, all right. I was going to say candlelight.
May I take a moment and just
certainly, Charlize,
say what a wonderful job this group of 13 women on the board who are working toward the goal of this gala. It's the first time we've ever done it in the history of the organization. So we're worried a little, but we are encouraged because we have people who are diligently working. And I'd like to just give you the names of the other
Please,
board members.
Let's share that.
You've met Stephanie Nativ, our executive director, Charlize King, I am the president, Michelle Schren is the vice president. Our treasurer is Reverend Joy Weiler. She's our secretary, I apologize. And our treasurer is Mary Lee Falco. Mary Ann Phillips is our member at large. Danielle Joseph, mm-hmm. Diane Kasten, Tracy Springer, Shelley Spires, Gladys Wiles. And we have two honorary members that we're very proud to have, and that is Carmen Twilly Ambar, mm-hmm. and also Leslie Kingston. So I want to thank them publicly for everything that they're doing to help us pull this off.
And this is a major undertaking. I've worked with galas before, and especially when you're trying something new.
Yes.
This is great. So please, consider supporting. At least go on the website and learn more about it if you're listening tonight. So let's talk about the future. Let's get beyond October and the gala. And Charlize, what do you see happening under your role as board chair?
Well, I know the year tenure is going to go by really, really quickly. But as the president this year, the things that I've talked to Stephanie about and the group about is I would like to assist in broadening the knowledge of the YWCA. A lot of people don't know where we are. They don't know what we do. And Michelle has a really wonderful thing that she says is that, no, we don't have a swimming pool.
Yes.
But we do have great programs.
Yeah.
And we're going to work this year trying to get that point across. Although we are operating without walls, we do a lot of wonderful things. The other thing that I think that we need to make sure that we convey is that we are the thought leaders when it comes to equality for women, minorities, and people with disabilities. And the glass ceiling will reflect that. If you're able to come and if we have articles that you can read about, that would be a wonderful thing. So marketing is another thing that we're going to do with our guru helper here, Michelle. We're working on that kind of project so that we can figure out how we can reach out to the public a little bit more and give them an understanding of what we do, where we are, how we do it, and how they may be able to help us.
Yeah. I think sometimes as women, we just tend to do things and
yes.
we don't shout about it.
Yes.
And I think it's time. 85 years is absolutely
yes.
time
yes.
for you guys to shout.
With you.
Maybe we should get the top of the Flatiron yes. building here and do something and let everybody know. Stephanie, from your perspective, what do you see going on the next year or so, or the direction you want to take with the Y?
We just finished our strategic plan, and there's one thing that there's two things that I'm very, very excited about. One is we're going to look at possibly having a building that we can call home.
Okay.
And we're going to look for buildings and start a capital campaign at some point. And the other area that we're going to be more visible, active in, is advocacy for women's issues with our elected officials and with the other people in the community.
Okay. Terrific.
So we're very excited about that.
Okay. And I know, Michelle, you have your own personal project that you're looking to do, which will help the Y as well as other organizations in your class. Why don't you share that, what you're doing? Because if listeners, if you have any information, Michelle may be able to tap some of your resources as she's searching for some clues.
Absolutely. I am actually attending Muhlenberg College at night. And one of the things that I've noticed over the last year of working with the Y is that really we don't have much local data when it comes to women's issues. Generally speaking, there are studies done at the state level. However, the last status of women study that has been done in Pennsylvania is 2004. There is not a current status of women's study out there. And I believe that that's a void. I think that the YWCA has wonderful programming and that we can do all kinds of things for advocacy. But unless we have the numbers and we can look at our community needs, we're not going to get the attention that the issues deserve.
And we're not going to move forward.
Exactly. So what we need as an organization, I feel, is some statistics that we can use in our advocacy programs. So I've taken on a study, and let me tell you, it's been interesting. Some of the issues that I have seen that need to be addressed, I believe, in our community, especially as women, are our education statistics. I mean, we've got 7 colleges and universities here, yet we do have a population that is not as educated as we could be, especially in females. So that will be coming up within the next year, and hopefully once we have those statistics, we can really look at their community needs and develop some programming.
Yeah, and I know from being a business owner and being a women's advocate as well, along the same lines, women business owners and minority business owners, we don't have as much information as we should, because those are the two areas that nationally are the fastest growing areas of small business, are women and minority owned businesses. And here in the Valley, it's women and Hispanic businesses have been the dominant of the minorities, but we're seeing more from Vietnam and other minorities coming into the Valley, and we need a support base. And, and until we can get the statistics, you can't build the support base to be able to go with it. So.
Right.
Yeah, so wish you much luck with that study. And any of our listeners, if you are aware of any information that's available, I know that I've been trying to seek some information from Michelle as well as the statistics. So, okay, we've only got a few minutes left, and I want to make sure that we really promote some of the things that are going on and make sure that everyone goes to the web and goes to breakingtheglassceilinggala.com. There you'll find information about the gala that the YWCA is doing on October 27th. On the WDIY.org page, you'll find out about the private reception that we're having for Terry Gross. And as Michelle indicated, this is limited in number. So if you're interested in going and meeting Terry as well as supporting WDIY, we'd love to have you there. So, Charlize, anything you'd like to share as we begin to wind down tonight's
another
program?
Another thing that I'd like the public to consider as they listen to us talk about our programs, if you're out there and you are finding yourself at the point in your lives where you're looking for something special to do to give back to the community, consider the YWCA as a volunteer. And if you're interested, I'll let Stephanie tell you how you can reach them and just talk about what you'd like to do and how you could help us.
Okay. Stephanie.
Well, if you'd like to volunteer, you can call us. Our telephone number is 610-867-4669. You can go on the YWCA website, which is www.ywcabethlehem.org. And you can look at our website, see the different programs and the different volunteer opportunities we have, and let us know how you'd like to help us. And you can always make a donation to our organization, and you can do that on our website, or you could just send us a check.
Okay. Now, one of the things I'm wondering about is gowns. As I go through my closet, I've got to start getting things out of there, and they're not that old. So,
perfect, Sally.
How soon do you start taking them
off? We start collecting the gowns in February.
Okay.
And then we have different sites throughout Lehigh Valley that are gathering places, and then we bring all the gowns to State Theater.
Okay. All right.
And that'll be publicized in the newspaper.
All right.
As
and
we
I'm
get
sure
closer
your,
to the event.
Your website will also have
yes.
some information, so
yes.
you can check in February and see. Okay, as we're going through, okay, and changing things. Michelle, anything that you would like to share, wrap up about either the event, was it Steel Stacks tonight?
Yes, join us at Steel Stacks tonight. We will be there until at least 8 o'clock. In addition to that, we hope you can join us for the Breaking the Glass Ceiling Gala. More information is available on our website at www.breakingtheglassceilinggala.com. And we also have a few sponsorship positions available. So if you're listening and would like to donate, we would very much appreciate it. And we hope to see you there.
Okay, well, I'll tell you, if the gala is anything like the history of the Bethlehem YWCA, you're going to be a trendsetter, and you're going to be introducing the Valley to a new way to look at these events. Everyone does the usual dinner dance and all that kind of stuff, and this will be much different, and I think will really sort of pull us in at a different level to the organization than you do with most galas.
Agreed.
Okay.
Yes,
all right, listeners, we are concluding tonight's program, but please don't turn off your radio because we have Celtic Fair coming up next, and stay tuned because we also have Celtic Classic coming up in the Lehigh Valley, so get yourself a little bit prepared for what's going to be happening within the next week or so. And thanks so much for listening. We loved having you with us. And again, if any questions, you can send to wdiy.org, and we'll get back to you. And have a great evening.